Welcome to the round 16 fan cams. After the Blues get a good win, a solid win up against the Hawks. 17 goals, 10, 112 to 7 goals, 10, 52.
Mate, tell you what, credit to them. They've gone back to their one wood. Their one wood is that centre. You score 73 points from scoring chains with handballs in that kind of weather is bizarre, because just a testament to the boys. I mean, end of the day, they just execute the basics well, and they put a game, put a side away. Could have been more, maybe. But, I mean, at the end of the day, Connors... Martin and Connors.
Over the course of the year, the teams that we expected to be, we should be beating. But hopefully now, you know, we flick the switch. We get on a bit of a run. You know, we need a scalp. We need to actually get a big result. Obviously, we need things to fall our way as well.
Next week.
So, yeah, if you want to book tickets to Perth, so we... I'm going to... But, yeah, look, we're doing what we should... We're playing like we should have been playing early in the season. I guess, yes, absolutely, enjoy it. It's a great result. But, you know, hindsight makes you think, like, where was this in the first half of the season? So
far out. Oh, my God. Look, I've just dropped in to Copenhagen for the weekend, but you know what? It's 9 o'clock here. Let's let him hear about it.
Come on, you baggers!
Amazing.
Out, man. I don't know if I'm lucid dreaming because I've woken up at 5 o'clock to watch that match, but what was that, man?
Wietering has returned to form. Whatever it is, he's just getting into better positions and sort of taking marks when he needs to. And you know, Cripper's doing that thing where it's sort of like the ball just pops out and you don't know why or how, but you just assumed it was him. And that's what you want him to do. So all those little things that make us, you know, a really highly competitive team seem to be clicking. And I think what's so frustrating is they seem like small things, but they're the difference between us winning games and looking really average. So,
but what does it mean? Who knows? Next week, we're going to know. These two games, we just had to win, right? That was just, it is what it is. And we won in very, very good fashion. But next week's the one.
And Chera as well, taking it to another level this year, becoming the player we all knew he could. I mean, you've got Kane Corns talking about him so much throughout the last year and a half, saying how shit of a trade it is. And it's looking like it's been the best trade we've made in the last few years.
This is the stat that really means a lot. The last time Carl won a game in round 16 at the MCG on a Sunday in the month of July, whilst also fielding a player that was exactly 29 years old, who had played in two career draws prior to the game, was 1995.
It was the exact same at last week. Absolute great ball movement, number one. Great structure. And I was really proud of the boys. And something I also want to say is about with Lewis Young and Silvani. Silvani did a great job in the ruck today. He was undersized, as we all know, but he like gets up there with height. And I think he did an absolutely amazing job today. And same as Lewis Young, like everyone's been saying, he's not been used to that role in his career. And he's came in today because TDK can't get push through and he's been injured. He came in and he's done his best and he did really, really well. And I was absolutely proud of him.
Winning content is easy, lads. It's easy. Good evening, Pommy. Good evening, Jad. Let's start with Jad. Hello, mate.
Hello. How's it going, boys?
It's good. It's good. Thought we'd get you in. First of all, you know why I got you in?
Yeah. No, I don't know why, but go on.
Because you're going to level me out tonight. Because I know I'm going to get you.
Oh, shit. That's good. Good. Good reasoning.
Nah, it's good to have you here. It's good to have all of you here. Pommy, you have donned an Aussie t-shirt, Let's just talk about this for a moment. It's been an interesting 24 hours for you, 48 hours, hasn't it?
Good mate of mine who I play golf with on a weekend, Chrissy. I might have wrote a few checks with my mouth that my ass can't cash. And yeah, as always, I mean, this is going to be a weird one for Australians in chat. I can respectfully lose and win. So I will wear this with pride. I honour my bet. I am very humbled, and I will do the honour of this beautiful bin chicken and kangaroo thing on here. Honoured to wear it. So it's two sizes too small, Chris. Thanks, but I'm wearing it.
Fair. I am nowhere near knowledgeable enough or have anywhere near enough care factor to give any banter about the cricket. But I will say one thing I've noticed the last 2 weeks – the last two fan cams that we've done, you've ended them by all the shows that we've done. You've ended them both by saying, well, I will tune into the Ashes to watch the Poms beat the Aussies. So you might want to check that attitude, mate.
We've got to say you all love me when I get confident about Carlton. Quickly changes, does it, when I have confidence and faith in my own nationality? Do you know what I mean? But there we are. I'll honour the bet. Well done, Aussies. You won't hear any crying from me.
Yeah, no, you won't. Okay, so Blue Abroad Show, Monday, 3rd of July, 2023, end of round 16, stress-free weekend. We're going to talk about the game. We're going to talk about the storylines. We'll talk a little bit about who could be coming in and really just open up the chat, be a bit more interactive with questions that some of you might have in the chat. Jad, seeing as you're joining us, why don't we kick things off with you while I ask the audience, give us three words to describe round 16. Jad, how'd you see it? What was your view?
Just three words, or do you want just
my... No, sorry. The chat will give us three words. You will go... You have an infinite amount of words.
You get an essay, mate.
Oh, thank you. Now, look, honestly, man, I'm very, very pleased with the intent. You could really see that there's just a completely different mindset that's been activated. I think across the board, they look refreshed. They look clear in what they want to do. I saw a couple of moments where some players were behaving in ways that I've criticized them earlier for not behaving in that way. Like Wiedering, I saw him screaming up the field when he didn't like the setup coming out of D50, and he was doing like this, like, because he turned the ball over and he's screaming at them, like, what the hell was that? Give me more. So it begs the question, like, is this something they've been building towards, or is this something that the coaches have flipped during the bye because they realized whatever they were doing before wasn't working? So I don't know the answer to that, but I loved seeing the quick handballs. I love seeing just a handball with, let's say, a 70% chance that it's going to work, a 30% chance that it's not going to work, but they took it. I think it's fair to say earlier in the year they weren't taking those chances, even if the percentage of it paying off was greater than the failure. So it kind of leads me to think that maybe this group, maybe they are just working through mental scarring. Maybe that's their biggest issue. Now, of course, I don't know. No one really knows, but I don't know. I look back on some of the things I was saying earlier in the year, like, it's really tested me. This year has tested me bad, man.
Yeah, man.
I was delisting players in my head on a weekly basis who I never thought I would mention their names, but I'm like, no, delist him, out. So it's been a testing year, man, and just goes to show that we don't really know anything. Really? No,
I mean, look, we're not out of the shit, let's be honest. We're not out of the hole. We've had two games where we've played in a way that resembles what we did last year with the application. And obviously the Hawks are not a contender. The Suns, not a contender for the flag. They're not a serious, serious team. They're probably more one of those teams where we thought we would be with in the mix. I just focused a bit more on us. And you mentioned the word, the application, like the willingness, like, tackles where two Carlton players were tackling one Hawthorn player. Like, we haven't seen that for a lot of this year. So I'm with you on the application. Pommy?
Yes, my friend.
What did you?
Same question.
Well, yeah. Where else have you seen from the replays and, you know, just the overall package of round 16?
I think the last week, I mean, I think you shouldn't be understating the meeting the players had at the Charlie Kerner Resort. I mean, it's no surprise to me what I'm about to say happened, because if you see what they did, they went and had a campfire and a few beers and open conversations. Every time I've seen Charlie Kerner post a picture doing that, he's been topless. And I tell you what, if you gave me a couple of beers around a topless Charlie Kerner, I would kick ass the next 2-4 weeks of my life. I promise you that. So, but in seriousness, because you want some seriousness, I thought this week what I really saw about the boys was something that I haven't seen from this club since about round 6 last year. And that was a belief, not in themselves, but in each other. Cripps backed off. Cripps against St Kilda was synonymous with the ground ball was there and he's barging his own teammates out of the way. This week, Cripps was quite happy to go, right, Kennedy's there. I'm going to be here and be his support. And that kind of reflected in everything we did. Players running on and taking on contact, which we haven't seen since last week. And we saw it in abundance this week. Walsh taking the contact, handball into a runner, and them trusting themselves to be there. Also, the fact that I hate 2-3 people tackling because it catches us out the back. This week, players actually saying he's going to nail that tackle. I'm going to stay on the outlet ball, right? We talked about it in the last show. That started to happen. We actually look like a team. Now, it's okay. It's Hawthorn. It's also Gold Coast. Let's put that in perspective. This ain't Collingwood. This ain't Port. But you've got to do it at some point. And now they have got two games where everything has gone fairly where they should be, what they're capable of. I think the balance of the side looks better. I think playing one smaller down the back. I thought we looked bad in the third when Lewis Young, incidentally, became a full-time defender in that quarter. I think they're naturally taking the game on. We're starting to see players like Doherty, players like Akers, not take weeks and actually just play the ball, play to their strengths. And that's basically, it's a simple game. Anything in life is simple if you execute the basic fundamentals of it. It's only hard when you try and get complex, isn't it? So do you know what I mean? I like that. I like the fact that we're playing it by the book, you know, almost like Carey seeing Bairstow out of his crease. We're seeing an opportunity and we're taking it. Cheap.
Love it.
I'm only joking.
Wonderful piece of keeping, Tom. Wonderful piece of keeping.
It was indeed. It was out as much as it pays me to say it. Just
I told you guys, give me 24 to 48 hours with Joe and he'll be here. And here he's here. No, this is actually, this was a really good shout, a really good call out. So I've just got the post up. So Voss in the presser, and this probably goes to what we're just talking about, the selflessness and the kumbaya at Charlie's house. I don't know, but he said that a strong quality of this is Voss, a strong quality of this group in the past has been next man in. That probably hasn't been a big focus of ours, in particular the first 9 or 10 rounds, but that's changed. Is it something to read into, or is it just one line of a full press conference?
I think it says, it's obviously code. Like it's what he can say to the press, but he's either calling the players, he's either way of telling us that they were being selfish earlier in the year. But I think it's a bit of both, mate, because you can't just say it was the players doing what they wanted for 13 weeks.
No, of course.
I think it all goes hand in hand. I think the message was dialed back, simplified. A few players were given more of a clear role, clear idea. The coaches coached in a more simple, clear way. And I just think, it looks like now that they're playing a style of footy that they're all on board with. Like we all talk about buy-in. Buy-in's probably the most important thing. If there's no buy-in, you don't get those two tackles on one player. You don't get teammates trusting each other. You don't get any of that. So, yeah, that's just my thought on it.
There's a few elements, though. So I think we've, whether it's been through force change, through injury, with Durden, for example, but we've changed the dynamic, or it's evolved from start of the year Durden, Motlop, Owies, these are our guys in the forward line, and this is them. This is the future, and we move on with them. You look over the, you know, the profile over the last few weeks, lo and behold, Dave Cunningham's playing again. Jack Martin's been playing. Lockie Fogarty's come into the team. And then I think down back as well, Pom, you mentioned it just then, like Lewis Young starts the season in defense, kind of looks just not the same when he's down back there. And I don't know what it means for him for the context of this year. He's probably just going through a bit of challenge with his form and position. I'm not sure, but, you know, having Chincotta into the team now, having Boyd into the team now regularly and these types, and I guess Kemp as well, by extension of that other, that, you know, that, that trio, there's a few things that have changed, no doubt, mid-season.
I think somewhere between Shane and Brody's comments are absolutely fantastic. And I think that leads to Woudy's comment. I think people get way too caught up in what's said, and I'm guilty of this too, and then trying to create a conspiracy theory. I think that's the culture we live in now. Do you know what I mean? Because something happens, we have to find some outlandish reason. So, like, this week, I've seen on Twitter, it's not Voss who's changed the game plan. The players are rebelling against him. Things like that. Like, and I see these just pathetic things where I'm like, unless you've worked in sport, it's very process-driven and it's not as free as you think it is. Do you know what I mean? Because people put pressure on you. I think what you're seeing is exactly what Brody says. I think the difference is the next man up this time is players like Cunners and Jack Martin, who can actually play the game to an extent that they can change the game. There's a difference between playing it and changing it. But I also think Shane has, and Woudy has absolutely nailed it. The Shepherds, the Smothers, the Tap-ons, these happen because players aren't like, oh, shit, always he's going to miss that tackle. So I'm going to come off Blade Hardwick, allow him to handball it, but hopefully tackle him, hopefully help him out tackle him. That trust is starting to come in. And the only way you can gain trust is by someone executing it and also that belief happening. So I think there'll be something with, I actually think that Essendon spray will have actually done a lot more positive for the club than you think. Like, even though it was not nice to see, I think that would have been a real turning point to see this is getting so bad now. It's not just us suffering. The entire ecosystem is fucked. So we've got to do something about it. And I would imagine that they've had some real heart-to-heart, some open conversations. And we said it round six, you and me, Terry. Sit them down in a room and say, you're fucking doing this. That's causing me to do this. You're not doing this. It's making me do this. And they've maybe just said, you know what? We're going to have to give ourselves to each other. We're going to have to submit. And I think you're seeing a group now, albeit against shitter opposition, doing the positive things that will beat it. Because I hate that. It's only Gold Coast and Hawthorn. Loser mentality. You're not going to get anywhere in life if your mentality is, oh, it was easy, that's why I did it. Should be about executing the basics. Then when you play Fremantle and Port Adelaide, you just repeat it. The enemy just gets a bit tougher. That's the core groundings. And that's what we've seen. Shouldn't be understated. The tackles this week were phenomenal because one player was executing, and it's took the easy outlet. That's the one thing that fucks me off. When people say Carlton get caught in transition, go back and watch St Kilda take the piss out of us. It was always three people went to Jake Sinclair. Sinclair had four options ahead of him with not one person on. This week, the players trusted always to make the tackle. Fogarty made the tackle, and they took his options away, which ultimately made it a harder kick. And the four goals they scored on transition, world-class kicks. World-class kicks. You'll take that all day. Take that all day.
Yeah, there's a few comments here I want to get to. Firstly, Cameron, thanks for the eight. Says, any chance we can do a Blue Broad get together at Lygon Street for the Melbourne game? I'm back in Melbourne next then. Potentially. It's on the cards. And then this one, I'm biased because this is what it's about for me. Composure, smart, and quick decision-making is more important than leg speed and athleticism. Martin, Cunners, Fogg, Boyd, Kemp equals footballers. Yes, the ball moves quicker than the leg, than the feet. Jad, what has been, what's been one of the core things that you've noticed from the group?
This will probably tie into what you were saying, Pom, about when you ask, when we ask each other, is this real or is it a poor opposition, right? But I reckon the way that you can tell that is you it is real in its intent, not the result. Forget about the result. Look at the intent. Look at what happens in game at the moments when it probably looks like things aren't happening. Example, Boyd takes a mark on a defensive wing, and the first thing he did looks in. He looks inboard to the center circle, looking for the riskier, better option, right? Earlier in the year, he's not even looking there. He's looking down the line. It's things like that. It's things like Wiedering screaming at everyone to set up better. I think that's how you can tell what is real and what isn't, just in its intent. Okay, opposition's poor. Yeah, Hawks are a young team, probably a bit tired in the legs, a bit heavy, all of these things. Obviously, the truth is somewhere in the middle, but I think it's silly to just disregard it as, they're poor sides. That's just crazy, because they can't. If they're thinking that, we're all stuffed. But I think there are a lot of real moments in that game that you can tell, okay, this is a little different. This is different.
Yeah. Well, one thing you always remind me of is, you know, what's the structure? What are they doing? What was the game plan? And I don't remember too many times this year in particular where we looked the way we kicked the ball and hit a target and had the not just one overlap runner, but two. So if the first one wasn't there, the second one was. It just looked like the timing was in sync. And Hawthorn, I mean, I think they laid 80 tackles for the game. It's not like, I mean, they'd be pretty stoked with that. I don't know if I'm reading too much into that tackle count there, but I didn't feel like Hawthorn made it easy for us. I thought we were just too good, which I haven't said about the team for the majority of the year.
Can I say to you, do you remember in the West Coast game, we smashed them, and I sent you like a voice message at 4 a.m. and I'm like, man, I was like, mate, that was shit. That was disgusting. Watching that game on Saturday, I don't have that same feeling. Like it really looked a lot different. You know, similar margin, similar sort of domination, but it looked a lot different to that West Coast game. So yeah, I think it is real. It is really in their intent, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, look, we can harp on about it all we want, but all that really matters is, you know, this week, and you know, the next eight. I mean, ultimately, it's just this week. You just got to keep saying this week and seeing what happens. But yeah, are you in the camp that you're frustrated as if like, where has this been? Or do you think, I think you said it earlier, Jad, do you think that this may have just been them coming out the other end and working on something within themselves as a group and coming out the other end?
Well, let me be clear. I still think that they're working through it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's over or it's whatever. I think there's a lot of work to go ahead to, you know, to put them through. But yeah, look, the real test is next week, isn't it?
Yeah.
The real test is next week. We'd either look, I don't know, but yeah.
Fair. Do you trust it yet?
Well, I mean, I still stand by that. Even if they make finals, we've got to ask the question of why has it come to this for them to do it? I mean, the big thing that I've noticed this last 2 weeks is the kind of... And Voss touched on it about celebrating, keeping them goalless more than the goals they kicked in the press conference, which I think was I think that's more telling. I think if you're trying to read into what you're saying about next man up, actually look at what you said. I think that's even more telling because we talked about this a couple of weeks ago and I was actually talking to a good mate of mine who is a cricket buff. And I said, if you watch Australia versus England, England are constantly trying to prove something. Australia have been there and done it and are trying to win a fucking game of cricket. So I was like, you look at it in the pre-game, Ollie Robinson's talking smack, Duckett talking smack, Australia just like, right, it's a game of cricket. They've been there and done it. They go out. And all them incidentals, they celebrate. Saving four runs, ruffle on the head. Do you know what I mean? England celebrate when they take a wicket. They celebrate the incidentals. This week, little things. Boyd makes that smother, right? When Bruce beat Newman. Newman straight away ruffling his head, saying, cheers, mate. Little tap on the bum. There was the tackle that Jesus made inbound where Cripper got sent for a hot dog by Warple. Straight away, Cripper's there like, good work. They're starting to enjoy their work. So what that means in the long term is they're starting to worship the one percenters that we're talking about. The one percenters, not the kicking goals. Forget your goal kicking accuracy. They're starting to revere the actual skills to win games of football. And I think Jad nailed it. I remember chatting to you, Terry, about the Eagles game. And it was, what did they learn in the last half, though, that will beat Collingwood? Because Collingwood ain't going to sit there and go, fuck, this is hard. They're going to come back at you and come back at you. This week, they've learned something. When Hawks got up, yes, they're shit. They tackled harder. They slowed the game down and then attacked at the right moment. They made Hawthorn come onto them and they hit them over the back. Them kind of things beat Collingwood and Port when you do it more and more and more. Just running through them, which they did against the Eagles, as almost like a willy-waving exercise in that fourth. Just get the ball and run. They don't want to chase us. You actually saw them learn skills. So they'll take something out of this game and go, right, Fremantle were good at this, good at that, but we lay 88 tackles, 90 tackles. They ain't going to do it. They ain't going to be able to do it. So I think they've learned a lot, and I think the Rook injury is a blessing in disguise this week, because that midfield had to work overtime and they started to enjoy themselves. Like seeing Cripps smile, I haven't seen Cripps smile a long time. He was having fun out there going, fuck, this is good. This is good. And he wasn't having fun because he was kicking eight goals. He was having fun because he did his job. He did his job and he trusted his boys to execute the job for him. And so he should be happy.
Yeah, good points. All right. Let's do some votes. So, guys, have a look, have a think, and give us your 3, 2, and 1. Well, those of you at home, give you 3, 2, and 1. We can also throw in a special mention for someone that doesn't quite get a vote, because it's tough. In a win, it's always tough. There's always 6 or 7 or 8 names. I think there might have even been 13 or 14 names that you could give a vote to. But just want to see how you saw the game. So, chat. Start with you, or start with you, Pommy. 3, 2, and 1.
3 votes, Walsh. Did what he wanted. This is tough. I'm going to give 2 votes to Cripps. I felt like he led. He led like a man, like a leader of this football club, and he trusted his troops. And you know what? I'm a man of integrity and honour. 1 vote, Jesus, right? Because I have been harsh on him, right? But you know what? Outgunned, outpowered, and you know what? He gave us something and he battled, and it's stiff because there's probably 50 players I could give 1 vote to, even players who didn't play because they didn't play, it allowed other players to play. So, Jesus, 1 vote.
Yeah, fair. Jad, you got votes?
Yeah. Look, 3 to Chera. I think he's a man on a mission this year. He's proving why we got him. He's sticking it up a few journos too. I love to see him just taking command like this. And I love to see, you know, the bigger boys like Cripper, like the bigger egos of the side, let him do it. So loving that. 2, this will be a bit left field, but I'm basing this based on who's given me a lot of hope this year. I love Brody Kemp. I love what he's bringing. The kid is taking command. He reads the ball so well off the boot. He seems to take intercept after intercept. Ball use has improved. Just fantastic. And then the one, a bit of a welcome back vote, Cunners. It has been a long time since we've had a Rolls Royce. A long time. Yeah. And I love seeing him there. I love seeing him explode, clean gathers, quick handballs, getting forward on the end of kicking a few goals. So, yeah.
With Kemp, we said this just earlier. We did the rating show and you know, his name came up and we were talking about his story. Can't help but feel like what we did with Kemp is what we didn't have the chance to do with the Paddy Dows and the Lockie O'Briens, for example. Kemp came in, granted he was injured, but really really plied his trade in the twos. Got a few games early, then really spent a good chunk in the twos just getting it all down pat. And it looks now he looks to be at this point in his career where it's reliable. It's like, oh, no, you're ready, young man. You're ready to be consistent now. And I really like the way that his whole story has really emerged at the moment.
Yeah, if only we had a time machine.
I know.
We could fix a lot of things, but it's just fantastic to see. I love what he brings.
Yeah. Yeah. I was with you. I gave Chez the three. I gave Harry the two, and then I did the Jack Silvani one. I just think it was a big one. It's the first game since the, we'll call it, what do we call the Essendon game? We'll call it Abuse Gate. It was Jack's first game since Abuse Gate. and I thought he stuck it up. Well, look, there's an element of he stuck it up his haters, but also on the other end, that's the Jack Silvani that we need. Now, not necessarily, obviously, he's not going to be playing as a ruckman every week, but there was a different energy about him. There was a different intent about him. There was a different focus about the way he played. And I hope it's not just a one-off, but that's the standard. That's got to be the standard of how he attacks the ball and performs.
You know what I think he did like on that? I just think he's proving that there is a role for him to play in this team. Yep. I think a lot of the question marks have been, oh, there's just no role for him. So it's up to him to make the role. And I think good first step against the Hawks.
Mm. Well, Pom, last week we did the list management, right? Jad, I don't know if you were tuned in. We did like all the uncontracted players, Pom threw in Zach Fisher, even though he's contracted, just to get me going. But, but you know, it was like, you know, keep, trade or delist. I feel like we're so quick to want to delist someone if they're just not in the best 22. And we forget that it's a long season. You need a squad of at least 30 that can play on any given week. Where do you sit on the Jack Silvani conversation?
Where I have done for the last 3 years.
Mm.
You've got to give him a role, like an actual role. And the problem is, you talked about Ken. You are completely lucky that our last list manager thought he was a midfielder, right? Because this is his position. We said it in the draft preview, the draft review, and now that intercept, maybe a chance of being the Stephen May undersized key position. That's where he is as a footballer. But Jesus, for me, Carlton have got to look at the ruck. Now, people will understate it, and I've already been pissed off already because people are saying ruckmen don't count, right? Cold hard facts. Last 12 years of the AFL, ruckmen have been ranked in the top six of every flag winner. So they don't have to be your best player. They have to do a job. So Jesus, for me, doing that, brilliant as that second ruck. We will need, though, Jesus, as God love him, when he plays teams like good teams with real recognised rucks like Melbourne, that's going to be a struggle. But I think Jesus there, I'd love it when he does next get dropped. I think you can only play one of TDK, two of TDK, Jack Martin, when we're all that tall. It ruins the structure, it's balanced. I'd love him to go into the VFL and try and nail this role because we have had smaller ruckmen all day long in the AFL. It has happened. But fair play to Jack because that is his role and in floating behind the ball is what Pitternet doesn't fucking do and it winds me up. So TDK, that's the only change I would make. I think TDK suddenly became a little bit more valuable watching that because the fact that Young and Jesus, when they rucked, offered something defensively, which unfortunately Pitternet doesn't. Yeah. And we're not good enough to have a static ruckman.
Hmm. Jad, Ur has given us a little dono here, or big dono. And he said, for the first time, our 2015 draft picks were on show in all its glory. Weeders, Charlie, Harry, Cunners, and Jesus. Is that the first time they've played all five of them?
Yeah.
Wow. Wait, is it what? First time ever?
Yeah.
Since 2015.
That was the first time ever that they've all five of them have played in one game. Yeah.
Hooray!
Hooray! Wow.
Mashallah.
On Jack Terry, is that was the question, yeah?
Yeah. Because
there's
very few players that can play. I mean, he's not a great forward when it comes to output. I wouldn't say he's a great forward, but he's a competent forward. I think a guy like him who's really versatile, they're very hard to come by.
Look, I have no real attachment to anyone anymore. Okay, yeah. In terms of I love the Silvani name and the legacy. Ask you a question. Counter question: is Jack Silvani a better player than Sean Grigg? If he's not, they're very close, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so why is it such a forbidden thing that we keep him in this role? As Pom said, he goes back to the VFL, he nails it, he accepts that's what he's going to be, and we kick on. Like, why is that such – it's like almost taboo. Why do you have to have two genuine bona fide ruckmen? Yeah. We can't even get him out on the puck, so why can't he have this role?
I'm with you. As in, I feel like he just does anything that the team asks of him at any time. And I think that's a quality that you want on your list.
Look, if Sean Grigg can do it, Jack Silvani can definitely do it. I'll fight anyone on that. And I don't love Jack. I'm not Jack's a sauce worship. I don't need him to be at the club. But I can see that he does bring value if we trust him in this role. But it's also on him. If he can put the ego, that's why I always talk about ego. If he can put the ego aside and accept this is what he has to do, then why not?
Mm.
You just got to accept it. They're all grown men. They're all competitive animals. They have egos. That's something that's just a fact of life. It's up to them. It's like the Cripper conversation. Is he going to be the captain that we need him to be, or is he going to be the captain that he wants to be? Like, we have a need. Do they want to be that need, or do they want to go elsewhere? I'm sure he'll get picked up by another club if he decides.
Mm. No, it's a good question. And I think part of the unique draw to this game is that there's so many individuals that make up a team on game day. And then by extension, during the week, because you have a whole list or a squad. So managing that ego, especially when you talk about a club like ours, which whether people are on the field involved in this club or off the field involved with this club, there's ego everywhere, you know? So that's where the coach for me is really important, because he's got to be able to manage the personalities. I think that's also why Carlton, in my view, have needed a big name, not big name, but a big personality, someone that can be confident within their own reputation, but also have an ability to manage the, you know, not only the egos that they're selecting on game day or whatever the case may be, but everyone else around who's putting their input, which is something that none of us know how that's going, because, you know, the finer details of what's being said on the inside, we're just not privy to.
I think it's dangerous, because people talk about, like, you know what really fucks me off? I'm going to have a little Pom rant. Like, people were saying Jesus is treated like shit. Voss hates him. I saw the embrace Voss and Jesus had. That's not hatred at all. That's mutual respect. So I think people sometimes, I always say this, people reflect their own personality. So when I see someone on social say, Voss is bullying Jesus, that says to me that person, whenever they've had criticism in life, goes home and cries and never fulfills their talent, right? Because I don't think Jesus is like that. I've spoke to Jesus. He doesn't look like the kind of guy that would suck. He looks like the kind of guy that would prove you fucking wrong. Then I look at the Dow commentary. Dow's being bullied. 40 touches average in VFL says to me he doesn't feel like he's bullied. He's probably trying to prove a point, and he's been an adult. So when I look at Jesus, let's break him down. I will ask you this question, both of you and chat. Pitternet, what do you know about him? Okay, he's going to win his hitouts. He's going to do the ruck shit. But he's going to do fuck all around the ground. And that's not his fault. That was the issue at Hawthorn, and that is the issue with his game. That's his game. He even does it in VFL. Does fuck all around the ground. It's not his fault, though. It's what he does. TDK, what are you going to do, right? You're all going to get excited because he climbs up the back of someone, right? And he looks good while he does it. But he is literally kind of like Pitternet this year, up until last week against Gold Coast, not really doing anything around the ground, but he looks active when he does it, so we get excited, right? But people forget his skill set. He was a gun forward as a junior. Many people, Cal Toomey was one of them, maybe clubs will draft him as a key forward because he had an incredible set shot. Would you rather, though, have TDK as the main ruckman, as he proved against Jared Witts? When he gets it right, he does well. Knowing, though, that Jesus will be the backup, may lose 50, 60% of it. But again, we'll give you something around the ground because it changed our system dramatically this week that both of them could switch just to go down behind the ball and be that extra player, right? Extra player. Because effectively, as much as I love Pitternet, he'll win your hit outs. You are one down around the ground, though.
Jed?
I would 100% go with TDK and Sauce. TDK 100%. Yep. Absolutely.
That's a good question. I think I would do... Well, I think it would depend who we're playing. If we were playing Melbourne or Frio, I would say Pitto. Because I think when we come up against teams that have two really solid, really good ruckmen or really solid and established ruckmen, I think I want Pitto in there because of the bodywork around the ground. The bodywork in contest, sorry, I should say, not around the ground. He doesn't do anything around the ground, we just said. yeah, but it's an interesting question. I don't think there is, I think what it's taught me, and I think what, like the more I watch the game, the more I realize, is there ever really a formula for a team that you just plug in and every single week, every single opponent, it works? I mean, that's the beauty of this game. It's going to change. You have variables, you have injuries, you have suspensions, you have all sorts of random things happening. That's why I like the versatility of players. Like, what would happen if Jack wasn't on the list this week? Is Lewis Young rucking for the whole game? Who, you know what I mean?
I'd counter that our midfield is so strong they would have battered them anyway. So, do you know what I mean? I think maybe. The numbers, the hit outs, I always say this, hit outs are one of the most overrated metrics, right? Because when you have what Hawthorn have, that's what we had when we've played shit teams. We've dominated hit outs, their clearance has killed us. So, but I will say this, right? Jesus has done it once, but
yes,
I want to tell you this story. When they brought Stephen Martin at Western Bulldogs, right? They brought him in because they had this theory. He was too weak. He was too soft. He hasn't developed quick enough English. He's gone off the boil. Bring him someone senior, right? The real improvement of Tim English was when Beveridge threw it in the bin and said, you're going to have to fucking do it this week, right? And TDK last week against Jared Witts did it. I think there is a point now where I would love to. I don't buy into this Pitternet bollocks. We've signed him for 4 years. Carlton, it's estimated at 220K or something. Was one of the reports the other day. So that's backup ruckman territory. That's backup ruckman. We've got the backup who can be plug and played. I think now is the time, Carlton, go, right, TDK, you want money. You're the sole ruckman. Because most of these ruckmen are doing 80, 90%. Tim English, 92%. That's insane. And he's not a baby anymore. This is what I get annoyed with TDK. He should be in the era of top five ruckmen in the league. Right? He's coming up to that era. So I think we've protected players way too much at times, then don't protect too many. There's no way TDK can be worse than Stanley. No way. Geelong fans complain about him all the time. That midfield should protect the shit out of a TDK. So what's TDK got to do? Do what you did this week. Fall at the ball, help your ruckman out. TDK, give him 6 weeks now and say, earn your stripes, kiddo. We've saved 100K from Pitternet. Here's 600. Earn it. Earn it. Be the main man.
Right. Okay. Let's talk about Wiedering quickly. just to confirm. I was looking forward to a tribunal stream, not going to lie, because I was, I wanted to see if they were going to try and suspend him. But I'm sure everyone watching is aware, Wiedering, I think it was a fine in the end, or no case to answer. I don't know exactly what the it was. I've been on stream, but he will be playing. Oh, they lost the tape. Was that really what happened?
No, they didn't have definitive footage from it. So it sounds like one of the cameras may have conked out. It happened a couple of years ago with a sponge that it was the camera stopped working and he proper right hooked him. So he's got lucky.
Can I just say, because I was on the fan cams when it was going into the chat and everyone's like, oh, Wiedering, yeah, jump a punch. I got excited. I'm like, Wiedering? Punch someone? Fuck yeah. So, yeah.
I want to say this. He needs a word with himself, right? Wiedering, right? That the way that guy reacted to a sternum punch and he hit the deck, disgrace. Sam Frost needs banning for 10 years. Like, I have never seen a man that size hit the deck for something that my son does worse to me if I won't give him some cookies before bed. Like, honestly, Sam Frost, if you're out there, question yourself. Because yeah. I have never hit the deck from someone. I reckon Mike Tyson could punch me as hard as he could in the sternum. I'd still be stood.
I love Angry Jacob. It's so good. And Angry Wiedering's a good Wiedering.
Oh, Angry Jacob?
Love it. Oh, that's Captain Angry Material, Jacob.
Yeah. Sorry, it was the Ruckman. It was Reeves, wasn't it? Was it Reeves or?
I think it was Reeves.
Yeah.
That's even worse.
Yeah. Like, look, do you know what I mean? Like, my Celtic ancestors used to stand there and hit a sword against this. Come on, mate. Sort yourself out. Jesus. Yeah. Don't come to a bar in the north of England. That's how we say hello.
Okay. VFL. Big win against the Northern Blues last week. Pommy, any news when it comes to players or notable performances? Paddy Dow, top of the list, I think.
They're all rubbish. D-list them all. Jokes. Right, so I mean, it was an impressive performance, to be fair to them. I've got to say, the Bull Ants are pish, to be safe. But I want to give a shout-out to Paddy Dow, right? Because he took one hell of a fucking beating. Like, he went off injured, concussed. Brave as shit, to be fair. So, credit to him. I think Lockie Cowan's putting on a bit of pressure. I noticed second half, they switched him to play an identical role to Chincotta, and he changed his output. His output was phenomenal. He will be in there. Binsey, interesting this one. Binsey, we started to see a bit of junior football Binsey. He slotted across the high half forward in the fourth, which would allude to me, if I'm Cottrell, a little bit worried if I am them because of that, because that says to me it's the natural progression. And something from watching the VFL, when Voss moves you in game or they move you in game, it means you're being thought of to play someone else's role in there. So that was interesting. Return to Sam Durden. He didn't have much to do, but he did what he needed to do. Carroll, interesting. Dow looks a bit different when Dow was there because Dow gets the primary user role. Carroll was more the wingman this week. I do think Carlton need to be really too harsh with Dow maybe and go, if he's not here next year, give Carroll that position. And I've got to give a big shout out to probably my favourite from this week, and that's Motlop. Motlop took his chances really well. And where Lockie O'Brien pissed me off because the second week in the row, he just basically said to me, Pom, I'm off. I don't want to play. Motlop basically said, you know what? Fuck Fogarty. Fuck always. I'm the man. And he actually showed me something. If he can do that a couple more weeks, I reckon that always Ed Kerner and Chincotta are probably the big rotatable roles at the football club. I reckon anyone can play them roles. And I'll add Kennedy into that in the terms of, I think it's Hewitt or Kennedy. I think they're the gettable roles, and especially the wing roles. But I think them four guys will be looking at that and saying, that's my job. That's my job. And great to see, because it's finally we're starting to see players that we question performing. But O'Brien, hate to slate him. Fuck, what is wrong with him? Got 20-odd games last year. He's been dropped for a debutant in Hollands. Hollands gets injured. Checked out. Checked out, he has. And that is disappointing for me.
That's not. Well, he's contracted, isn't he? Didn't we give him a 2-year deal?
Honestly, Nick Austin, if you're watching, just have a private agreement that you'll extend the contract, but just do year deals.
1-year deals. 1-year deals. It's okay.
Ken Oath. God.
Like, honestly, and I don't mean to slate him, because I think everyone will admit I have been a huge supporter of Lachie O'Brien, right? Because I love a winger. But honestly, something's happened to him. Now, I'm speculating, has something happened like in his life or something? But this guy literally looks a shell of what we saw last year when he showed moments and elements of the game. Like, he just looks like he can't be... He looks like he's literally... If he plays as if he has said the order of wingers in this club is Hollands, Cottrell, like, I'm third, and he's accepted it. Where Dow is like, fuck Cripps, fuck Hewitt. I'm the fucking... I want this job. I don't care who's in my way. Oh, Brian has kind of just said, when you get fit, Hollands, it's yours again, mate. It's yours. Mm. But I want to give a special shout out as well to someone that fans slate. Hudson O'Keefe.
Okay.
We talked about Jack Silvani. I'd know from someone who works at the club, Hudson's been spending a lot of time with the mid group. And it showed 7 tackles. He was started to show us something around the ground. I was worried we'd got Pitternet version 2. Chasing, showing me what he showed in junior football. Really impressive from Hudson. Wasn't brilliant, but starting to see a little bit about him around the ground, and I admire that.
Yeah. Jad, what do you make of the makeup of the group in the midfield? Pommy, you mentioned, you know, Hewitt, and there's a conversation that's swirling around, you know, is it Hewitt and Kennedy, or is it Hewitt or Kennedy? What do you find around the midfield makeup right now?
I don't think it's complete. I think there's a glaring hole in it. But the unfortunate thing for us is that it's a player that we don't have right now. We don't have the profile of the player that I think we need flowing through there. In terms of Kennedy and Hewitt, I'm going with Kennedy. I think he's a better ball user. I think he's more flexible. He can float forward. Hewitt's pretty limited in that aspect. But I still look at our midfield, and if you compare it to a midfield with a bit more agility and bounce and zip, it's still going to get cut to ribbons. Mm-hmm. So I think big decisions have to be made there in this off season, and it's going to be fascinating to see what we go after or what we try to draft, because it's very, very, it's very slow to me. Now, I know that the saying of the ball moves faster than legs and all that sort of stuff, but I think our midfield is behind the best midfields in the comp because of that, I hate to say it, that Connor Rosie profile of player.
Right.
I noticed they put Fogarty through there a couple times, and Cunners as well. I think he had like 6 CBAs. So it tells that they know what it is. But yeah, fortunately we just don't have it. So just got to make do with what we have. Mm-hmm. Until then.
What is the situation this week with changes? So Hewitt, you'd think I don't know if that was just Hewitt's, you know, game back to get, I don't know. I don't know if that was a selection of having him as the sub because of selection pressure, or if it was him being managed back to full fitness. I'm not sure, but what changes, if any, this week? I also don't know what the situation is with Tom and Pitto. Like, it's not clear to me exactly what the time frame is yet, unless I've missed something.
when they use phrases like aggravated PCL knee of Pitanet and TDK's injury, that screams to me out. That screams to me out. I think you may see it again. In an ideal world, if everyone's fit, I'd drop Young in a heartbeat for TDK. And I think it's interesting, the Ed Kerner and the Ed Kerner, Matt Kennedy, George Hewitt thing. I think if you bring George Hewitt to play Ed Kerner's role, that wastes him at the forward line. And Voss seems reluctant to play Kennedy forward, so you can't even switch that. So I think that's a weird, that's going to be a weird role. That's going to be a weird role for him. I would be in the element, you know, in the element of dropping. I wonder if Hewitt comes back full stop. I don't like him as a sub. I think that's weird. He took a forward out this week for Hewitt, which gives us no indication, does it? Because he's not going to drop Charlie to play George Hewitt. Well, you never know. We've had worse selections. I wouldn't be surprised to see George Hewitt come in for Ed Kerner, to be honest, and they'll just over-rotate it. But I do think the rotation this week, to back Jad's point up, I disagree our midfield's slow. I think it's slow if you want to play like Collingwood, but I think the problem is with this football club, we try and be Collingwood, or we try and be Richmond, or we try and be another club. Cold hard facts are we are a slat side, wins contested ball. That's what we are. We've got to just embrace that. And people were talking about Cripps. Cripps was actually slower this week than he was against Gold Coast Suns, but loads of comments have been, he looks quick. Ball movement beats the eye. Do you know what I mean? Beats speed. They just need to get past that first man. And when they play that contested contact handball, they're quicker because two players are out of the equation. It's very easy to beat someone when there's no one to chase you. So I think just do more of the same. But my fear is if you add Hewitt into that mix and you take out someone else and we suddenly play five of them big guys inside, it goes back to the way it was.
Yeah.
And that's my fear. So maybe if I was picking the team, Ed Kerner out, Cottrell in, let him play that role. TDK in, Young out. And throw a dart if you swap Hewitt for Kennedy.
Chad, what would you do?
Mine are the same changes, mate. It's pretty much spot on. Yeah.
Fair.
Thanks, Chad.
Yeah, let's I just want to do, all I want to do now is just do this week's round of tipping with the two of you. And just see what you think about things. I will do it via the ladder predictor. You guys can just answer my questions. Who would you tip? Richmond, Sydney on Thursday night?
Sydney.
Tigers.
Chat, we'll go to you. Chat, those of you watching, Richmond or Sydney Thursday at the MCG?
Nearly fucking died doing this year.
Yeah. You right there, mate?
The brakes of the wheels came off and I went flying into the desk.
Okay, I see a lot of Tigers here. I'll tip Richmond. How about that? I'll tip Richmond.
Oh, we're doing Friday your night. Tips, Terry, are we?
Sorry?
Are we doing your tips?
No. Look, it's all gonna come, it's just going to come together. Just wait. Just wait. Bulldogs, Collingwood at Marvel Friday night. Boys?
Oh, at Marvel. Doggies. Yeah, I feel it. Tom? I can feel it.
Pies by about 60.
Okay, I've got to go back to the chat. Chat, Collingwood or the Dogs?
I want this the Pies not to lose a game until they play us. So then everyone can be like, they're due to lose there.
Yeah, this will all come together. Just bear with me. All right, the chat will affirm Collingwood. Brisbane, West Coast at the Gabba. Am I safe in assuming that we would all tip Brisbane?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Giants and the Hawks at Giant Stadium.
Giants.
Yeah, Giants.
All right, I'll tip the Giants. No worries. Saints, D's, Marvel Stadium, Saturday night.
D's.
Yeah, Melbourne. St Kilda, after what they did to GWR and the West Coast. I am, you know what? I don't hate St Kilda, but fuck, it would have been hilarious if they'd lost that.
I can't wait. I'm looking forward to playing them. Just
I was looking forward to Jake's fan cam in the car if they'd lost that. I was gutted they won. Like, I'd never wish another team to lose, but I did.
Port Adelaide are playing the Suns at Adelaide Oval Saturday night. Port?
Oh, Port, yeah.
What? It's okay. Impossible to loot, to win at Port Adelaide Stadium.
I'm going to also tip Geelong to beat North at GMHBA.
Clarko's back, though, isn't he, this week?
Yep.
Clarko.
Oh, is he really?
Ooh. I believe he's back this week. Yep. I believe last week was his last week in that statement. He was going to come back in, but Geelong will win it.
Okay. Two more. Bombers, Crows at Marvel, Sunday afternoon.
Oh,
ranking masterclass. Crows.
I'm going to say Bombers.
Pom says Crows. Jad says Bombers. That means we've got to go to the chat. Chat, who's winning? Adelaide or the Bombers? I see a lot of Adelaide here. Okay. I'll give you 30 more seconds because the final question's a good one. Let me tell you that.
Is it? Is Carlton being freer?
Well, yeah.
Contest.
Let's just say Adelaide beat the Bombers, right? So what would happen? We would get to 440 on Sunday. Carlton would be sitting 15th with 26 points, right? Geelong would be 8th with 34 points. Now, my final question. Can we beat Fremantle on Sunday?
I know some of you don't want to dream.
I know some of you don't want to get sucked into hope because I let you down and it's a litmus test. But can we beat Freo on Sunday? Lucky Jack, you know me.
We can beat them. Yes, we can. We can.
Palm, I know you know we can beat them.
Mate.
Listen, Zainab has called it.
Mate, even playing shit, if you take the last two games out, we are dominating them around contested possession differential, centre clearance differential, all them numbers that you look and say Carlton can win this game, which even when we play a top eight side, we've been way off. They're one of the few teams, even though we've been shit, we're actually better than them at in that area, which is huge for us. If they go there, if Matt Murphy attends, calling Matt Murphy out, if he attends in the stands, Carlton, heard it here first, 21 points.
Okay. Well, there's a few things happening this week. Obviously, we're playing Freo there. It's Charlie's 100th game, and it's poetic that he plays against Freo at Optus, where I don't know if it was the first time he did his knee, or it was one of the few times he did his knee in 2019, but it happened at Freo. This was the game that Jack tagged Fife, and 4 years later, we still talk about Jack being a midfielder because he tagged Fife for a half one time.
Yep.
But it's all come full circle. I'm really excited for Sunday. It's a massive game.
Why do you have to keep bringing up the injury, Tony? Come on, like
I'm saying it's full circle.
It's a home game. WA fans are fucked. WA fans. It's a home game for the Blues. It's a home game. Like everyone knows, you've got to do it for this guy, haven't you? I mean, look, come on. He's everyone's favourite player, but he was my favourite player first. So, you know what I mean? Even his mum bows to my love for Charlie.
Yep.
Charlie's 100th game. They've got... You all talk about heart and soul. Who's Fremantle's heart and soul? Pavlich's love child, Nat Fife. He's out for the year.
True. So, Fife's out.
Flaggers. Blues, the situation
if Freo win, we will probably hover around that 14th to 15th spot. And we would be, you know, effectively 8 points out from there. If we win on the other end, we would find ourselves a game out of the eight. That is as poorly as we've been all year. That is the situation on Sunday. It's huge.
But I'm just so keen to see if they're going to go into their shells when the pressure comes.
Correct.
This is what I'm just dying over. Are they going to keep the handball? Are they going to keep looking in? Hey,
it's next week. Next week is the week I worry, because if they beat Freo, suddenly the press will be like, fuck, Carlton are doing it. Carlton are doing it. And that's when I'd question them. Port Adelaide, due a loss. That's where I could see a Carlton implosion. You know, if that mental stigma's there.
But see, I believe if we beat Freo, I think this is real. And I'll be on. I'll be back on. I'll be back on, mate.
Come on, Jabs. Come on.
Flaggers, mate. Let's go.
You were in my DMs yesterday about fucking Australia winning. I'm here, not wearing your country's colours with honour and pride. Come on, baggers through. Baggers beat Freo. We always beat Freo.
They've just found a way to give us just a little bit, just to get us going for one more week. And
Jad, just
imagine. You know what kills me? We've got them covered on every line, I believe. Yep. We do. We just have them covered everywhere. I don't look at one line of theirs and say, oh, they're better than us there. But it's just their system versus our coming into a system. I don't know.
Just imagine it. 21-point win against Freo, right? And then we entertain Port. The only team in the league, evidently, that can beat Collingwood. Collingwood have already got the
getting shivers.
But imagine it. Three-quarter time, Carlton are 21 points down against Port. We're starting to think, fuck, the boys, they've buckled. Then Charlie just remembers he is the best player in the league. Four quick goals, clearance after clearance. Carlton beat them with a kick after the siren from Blake Akers. Carlton beat Port. They're in the eight. Jad, we're in the eight, baby.
All I'm saying is the point of why I did all of that was just to say, as bad as it's been, that is how tight it is right now, still. That's how tight the situation is. So Sunday's going to be, sorry?
Tighter than a frog's bum, this league.
Absolutely. Sunday's going to be a big build-up because it's a final game. There's going to be, I know that we've done the tipping just now, but there's going to be twists and turns and maybe an upset here or there. Who knows? But a win this week and we put ourselves in a position for the most part where we could be a game out. So
it's kind of like last year, isn't it? But flipped because like no one believes. I remember these conversations. I remember Jad, I think it was round three, didn't quite believe in the 8-2. You were still dipping your feet in the waters. And it was after the Doggies game that you really started to believe, right? Because the Richmond game was like that blip. Did we just win? And then, right, it's kind of like that now because you know what this fucking football club's like. They're stupid. Wins turn into wins. They do unthinkable things. Like I am telling you, if they beat Fremantle now, take it to the bank, we beat Port, right? And then you all lose your fucking minds. Because that is what is wrong with these boys. There's something wrong with them. They're ill. They're totally sick. And they beat Port. And everyone will be like this, Carlton are fucking coming, baby. This is it.
And then we're going to cheer.
Mate, I will post that. I will post that they know we're coming picture on Twitter with Juddy in the middle.
Jad, are you ready?
For if we beat Freo.
Oh. Are you ready for round 23?
What's round 23, mate?
We're going to chair off Levi Casbolt.
mate, if we do that, even if we play finals, it'll ruin flags. If we win flags this year, let's just say, unlikely, we win a flag and we chair off Levi Casbolt, I won't count it. We'll always be on 16.
I'm so disgusted. I'm disgusted with each and every one of us. Look how we're talking. Have we not learned our lesson? No. Are we not scarred enough?
No, I'm just looking at this week. That's it. I just wanted to look at this week and take it one week at a time. Let's look ahead to the week, though. So... The jumper punch tomorrow night here on the Blue Abroad YouTube channel, 7 p.m. Have a look at this for a guest.
G'day, Blue Baggers. Brad Fisher here. Played 99 games for the Blues back in the early 2000s. Don't forget to watch the jumper punch every Tuesday night. Go Blues.
Mr. Fisher.
99 games. Yeah. Far out, that poor bloke.
No, Jad, we just did a whole show talking about how we don't do the poor bloke thing.
I'm sick, Terry. I'm sick, mate. I flip and flop.
You've got the love. I can. You've got the love there.
Months yeah. Looking just after he retired at the amount of people who have played 100 games and their skill levels, he must be fuming. Like, yeah. I wouldn't come on a Calvin podcast.
Good point. I think we all want, we all just don't want to get hurt. So we're all just protecting ourselves from that. I'm ready, willing, and able to get hurt again. I'm ready. I want more pain. So
I think I'm so glad you know this.
Yeah.
It's just built up in the last 5 minutes, like triple.
Jab, Charlie Kerner. It's showtime, baby. 100 games.
I'm going to block you after this.
Yeah, that's
100 games. All the talk will be about Charlie. There'll be all the pictures, the baby photos of Ed hugging him, the build-up. Charlie Kerner's going to go fucking mental, baby, in WA. We're talking 10 goals. Could be even 12. Absolute
mate, and you're going to be in my DMs after the game telling me that we're all fucking idiots for believing. And you're saying this. So just clip this. Just clip this, please.
I can't wait for us to lose and me texting you going, what the fuck is wrong with people? Don't we expect...
Exactly right, mate. Exactly what you're going to do.
Where did he get this
saying
from?
Cult supporters are the worst.
So good. Okay, so that's Tuesday night. Pommy team show tomorrow night as well, 6 p.m. That's happening. Wednesday, the Besties new episode drops, as well as the rest. The preview will be out. I think I'll do it on Wednesday. I think that's the move. Yeah. Thursday, teams, extended teams. Friday, final teams. BA Saturdays, baby. We're back. Jay, do you want to come hang out on Saturday morning?
Yeah, for sure, mate. What are we doing? What's the show like? What's it doing? What's the format?
Just show up. I'll do the rest.
All right, mate. Done.
Saturday. BA Saturdays is back. Saturday morning, probably 10:30, 11-ish, similar to last week. That was good fun. And then Sunday, it's on. Watch along. Fan cams. I think the Almost Blues Brothers, yeah, it'll be late. So Almost Blues Brothers will probably be on the Monday unless I do like a really late Sunday. But nonetheless, guys, big week. Big week. Thanks for tuning in. If you haven't filled out the survey, fill out the survey. It's at the live chat on YouTube. Fill it out. Your feedback is crucial. And let's have a good week. Thanks for being here, Jad and Pom.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Go Blues.
Charlie Kerner 100, baby!